Well, good afternoon, everyone. 12 days from today, this nation will observe a national holiday, and we call it Thanksgiving Day. Most Americans will focus their attention on a day with the traditional turkey dinner, pumpkin pie, and with all the trimmings with family and friends. For us in the church, it is also an enjoyable day where we can observe with other family members who don't share the holy days with us or even our own beliefs. It is a day that we can get together and share our thankfulness with each other. Nearly 400 years ago in 1620, some of our forefathers left England in a boat called the Mayflower. Today is November 11th. And on that day, November 11th, 1620, the men in the harbor on the Mayflower signed the Plymouth Compact, which was an agreement that governed themselves. They left that boat and founded the community of what we call the Plymouth Colony. Now, those settlers we call the Pilgrims. And they arrived to a new land late in the season, and they were ill-prepared to begin a life in the harsh New England weather, winters. That winter, nearly one half of those who came over in the boat would die. In the spring of 1621, the Native American Indians showed the Pilgrims how to plant crops and how to hunt. And by the end of that year, 1621, there was a bountiful crop. And the Pilgrims had learned how to live in the New World. So late in that year, the Pilgrims gave thanks to God for their help and guidance they received. They invited 100 of the Indians that had helped them, and they feasted for 3 days and gave praises to God. So begins our tradition of the American Thanksgiving Day. Today, let's take a look at how we can show our thankfulness to God. In this sermonette message today, we will look on how that can be achieved. I have titled this sermonette, Thanking God on Thanksgiving Day. Now, the first way we can thank God is to recognize, as a nation, where our blessings come from. I'd like to have everyone turn to Psalms 33. And we're going to read something I think is kind of important here. Okay, Psalms 33, we'll begin in verse 10. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Thankfully, we as a nation have had leaders that seek and have acknowledged God in their lives. And that has been a blessing for this nation. On January 1st, 1795, our first president, George Washington, wrote his famous National Thanksgiving Proclamation, in which he says that it is, as a people, to quote, to acknowledge our many and great obligations to Almighty God, and to implore him to continue is our duty as a people, with devout reverence and affectionate gratitude, to acknowledge our many great obligations to Almighty God, and to implore him to continue the blessings we have experienced. Now, many years later, in 1863, Abraham Lincoln proclaimed by an act of Congress an annual day of Thanksgiving. He said, quote, on the last Thursday of November, as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Lincoln also said in that Thanksgiving proclamation that it is, quote, announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations are blessed whose God is Lord. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined by the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. It has seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. Now, since 1863 to the present time, every president of the United States has issued a Thanksgiving proclamation. So first, we must thank God on Thanksgiving Day on the national level. Now, there's a second way to thank God on Thanksgiving Day. And when I say we, I am specifically addressing all of us who call ourselves Christians and are obedient to God's calling that He has so graciously given to us. It's really about an attitude and how we adapt to those spiritual blessings God has given to us and placed in our hearts. Now, for you to understand, I have to tell you a story. It's about a teacher and her students. As I tell this story, I like to imagine that you're one of the students. The teacher years ago handed out two sheets of paper to each student. And on those pages was the list of names of every student in the class with a blank line in between. She asked them to think of the nicest things they could say about each of their classmates and write it down. Now, it took the remainder of the class for the class to finish the assignment. At the end of the assignment, they turned in the papers to the teacher. And later that week, the teacher wrote the name of each student on a separate sheet of paper. That teacher then compiled all the comments that the students had said about that individual. And she gave that paper out to everyone in the class. So as each student read the comments of their fellow classmates, she saw the smiles on their faces. She overheard comments as students were whispering to each other, like, "I didn't know others liked me so much. And I never knew that others cared about me." Now, the teacher never discussed the paper with the students. But the teacher did notice that there was students were happier with themselves and with each other. Now, later, those students would graduate from high school. One of her students was named Mark, and he enlisted into the military. Mark was sent to Vietnam, and there he died. The military flew the body and his personal belongings back home. The teacher we talked about earlier attended the funeral service. Mark's parents had gone through his personal belongings. And in his wallet, the day that he was killed, were two pieces of paper that had been taped together. They had been folded and unfolded many, many times. And they thought that this was really a treasure of his. And they asked to be read at the funeral. It said, "Mark, this is what your fellow classmates feel, think, and admire about you." An entire list was read about the comments. After the funeral, there was a reception. And as the teacher was standing there by herself, many of her former students came up and they said, "You know, I still have my list." One said, "I have mine framed in my business office." And one gal said that her husband liked it so much that they put it in their wedding album. One said, "Top drawer of her desk," and so on. One person said it was the most significant thing he had ever done in school, because you see, his parents were negative and very critical of him all throughout his life. And he learned for the first time that was the other ways of looking at himself from his friends that he never knew about before. So if you were one of those students that completed that task, would it change your life? Let's turn to Psalms 34, verse 11. Here we're going to have a spiritual lesson for us today. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And of course, fear doesn't mean to be afraid, but to revere God. Who is a man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The teacher taught in that simple lesson that we are to look for the good in a person. At that funeral, the teacher realized it was just more than a simple exercise. It had a profound effect on all our students. Next week, 12 days from now, we will observe Thanksgiving Day, and we will assemble with friends and family. You know, some of us have a lot of family, cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents, sisters and brothers, in-laws, even outlaws. Now, those outlaws are those people in your family who, you know, rub people the wrong way. If we can learn anything by what God has told us, and what the teacher has taught this class, is that we need to say positive things to others. I am happy to see that we are going into a program called Growing Kids God's Way. It's to renew the relationships in the family and in the family of God. And I'm very thankful for that. But thankfulness is an attitude. It's a positive outlook which one does not focus on because we don't have something. Rather, it focuses on what we do have. Everyone has a special gift from God. Thanksgiving, we give thanks to others, should be part of everyone's character as we seek the kingdom of God. This Thanksgiving, yes, and actually every day, let's count our blessings and give thanks to our gracious God. So if we were to give thanks on Thanksgiving Day, we do it as a nation, and we, especially of God's people who have been given so much spiritual knowledge. I'd like to quote one last scripture here. Let's go to Matthew 13. Let's read verse 16. And here he's talking to his disciples, Jesus Christ. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Now Christ was talking about himself, but he's also talking to us today. You see, we have this manual. It tells us how to live, how to react with each individual. That is a blessing for all of us. We have just come back from the Feast of Tabernacles, the last great day, and we've learned about the blessings that are yet to come, spiritual blessings, as we follow God's way, that there is a plan for us and every human being on this planet. I'm thankful for that, and we should be too. So on this Thanksgiving, let's give thanks to God, for he deserves all the thanks.